भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम सिक्स कैंटो चैप्टर 17 टेक्स्ट 37 इति भागवतो देव्या प्रतिशप्तुमलन्तमः मूर्ध्ना स जगृहे शापम् एतावत् साधुलक्षणम् ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद ट्रांसलेशन द ग्रेट डिवोटी चित्रकेतु वाज सो पावरफुल that he was quite competent to curse Mother Parvati in retaliation. But instead of doing so, he very humbly accepted the curse and bowed his head before Lord Shiva and his wife. This is very much to be appreciated as a standard behavior of a Vaishnava. Purport. Upon being informed by Lord Shiva, Mother Parvati could understand that she was wrong in cursing Chitraketu. King Chitraketu was so exalted in his character that in spite of being wrongly cursed by Parvati, he immediately descended from his airplane and bowed his head before the mother, accepting her curse. This has already been explained. Narayana para sarve nakutashchana bhivyati. Chitraketu very sportingly felt that since the mother wanted to curse him, he could accept this curse just to please her. This is called sadhu lakshanam. The characteristic of a sadhu or a devotee. As explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Trunadapi Sunichena, Tarorapi Sahishnuna, a devotee should always be very humble and meek and should offer all respect to others, especially to superiors. Being protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a devotee is always powerful. But a devotee does not wish to show his power unnecessarily. However, when a less intelligent person has some power, he wants to use it for sense gratification. This is not the behavior of a devotee. On the occasion of Balaram Jayanti, I have been instructed to speak something about Lord Balaram's pastimes. First, we will spend some time on this verse and purport. Continuing the narration of how Vritrasura could show the symptom of a devotee. In answer to that question, Shukadeva Goswami is describing how King Chitraketu was cursed. So today we learn that he was so powerful that he was quite competent to curse Mother Parvati in retaliation. Generally, when you feel that the opposite party has equal power or less power than you, or you are quite competent to fight back, or more importantly, there is something to be gained by fighting back, then you like to fight back. Lord Brahma, in his prayers to Krishna, he says that my mystic power is like the power of an insignificant lamp compared to your power, Krishna, which is like the sun. How can the power of a lamp compete with the power of the sun? So can someone assume that Vaishnavas do not curse because they feel that they are powerless? They have... By becoming Vaishnava, do you become weak? Do you lose your fighting power or as they say in today's language, your killer instinct. Just see the word. It itself means that if you tell people this is a dog-eat-dog world, people don't agree sometimes. They say, no, it's very beautiful. But look at the vocabulary which we use. Even in sports, they say, you should have your killer instinct. So this is a common doubt or apprehension or a slur on Vaishnava behavior. That a businessman may be accused by his wife that after becoming Krishna conscious, you have lost the instinct to make profit. Or a student may be accused that after becoming Krishna conscious, you have lost the desire to gain more marks. Certainly, those who take the easy way out and think that I don't need to study, Krishna will take care of everything, they are committing a big mistake. The world never likes losers, neither does Krishna. But Krishna's way of winning is not you win for the sake of winning. He is telling Arjun, Tato yuddhaya yujjasva vigata jvara. Without lethargy, get up and fight. There are so many instances where Krishna is saying, Attishto tishtha, that means get up now. So, Arjuna typically simply exemplifies the materialistic urge to either do it for the sake of winning or else I give it up. And Krishna is saying, do it for me. And that's the hard part. That you keep the urge, the ambition, the hard work and not be attached to the credit. So therefore we have this instance of, I think yesterday, 2 days ago, Anandan Prabhu asked why Parvati cursed and why she agreed to become an instrument and Chitraketu is already becoming God conscious. So why this whole episode of being cursed? Krishna can use any instrument. Krishna can use any incident to help his devotee. That's what he does. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is described as Achyuta, which means infallible. But infallible in what situation? Prabhupada explains, Krishna never fails in his affection for his devotee. That's his infallibility. He never fails to show affection. If Chitraketu would have cursed back, this could have been another Puranical story where the whole thing continues without any end. So here we find that he was so powerful that he was quite competent to curse Mother Parvati in retaliation. But instead of doing so, he very humbly accepted the curse. Came down from his plane, Prabhupada says here, he bowed his head before the mother, accepted her curse. Was he not aware of what really means to be a man-eating demon? He was well aware. So where did the fearlessness come from? There's a difference between fearlessness and carelessness. He's not showing to be careless that, oh, I don't care. Sometimes people who don't have a spiritual maturity may also say, I don't fear death. Normally, when you don't have anything to lose, you can say. But normally, when you have something to gain, at that time to say, I don't care if I gain or lose, that's the real test. And you can test it in your own life that when the instruction comes to give up, and if you don't have anything, you say, well, I don't stand to lose anything anyway. But the toughest part is when there is attachment and then you are told to give it up. Chitraketu was well on his way to another exalted position as Govind Prabhu explained, he was having the best of both worlds. He was having materialistic way of enjoyment and also spiritual progress. It is clarified by Srila Prabhupada that Chitraketu's gaining the association of the Vidyadhara planet with Vidyadhara women, with singing, dancing, this is like, it is a intermediate, it's a boon in the intermediate part of your development of devotional service. You are neither neophyte, you are neither fully there, but just on the way you get something. And you have to be careful. We might get caught up in the perks and lose the salary, as they say. So, Prabhupada advises here, a devotee should always be very humble and meek and offer all respect to others, especially to superiors. By doing so, by giving a counter curse, Chitraketu could have lost the initiative. And that's what normally happens. Episode after episode in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sringi cursing Parikshit, no retaliation. King Indra trying to cheat King Prithu by stealing that one horse, which could be used to finish the 100 sacrifices. And Prithu is quite powerful. He is a incarnation of Lord Vishnu himself. And Vishnu himself says, don't compete with this fellow. He is still enamored by material power. Your whole aim in ruling this kingdom is not to gain material power. Just forget this. And he does. And he becomes glorious. And now we have here Chitraketu cursed by none other than Durga Devi herself cursing him. But Prabhupada warns here that being protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a devotee is always powerful. When it came to a conversation that whether devotees become powerless or weak because of too much bhakti, Prabhupada said there were only two great, which could be really called great wars, great fights, the Mahabharata war and the Ramayana war. And he said the heroes of both these wars were Vaishnavas. Arjun was the hero of the Mahabharata war. Hanuman was the hero of the Ramayana war. So what somebody makes think that after becoming a devotee, you lose your ambition. True, you may be losing your ambition, but you gain Krishna's ambition. That intermediate part in your life, when you are giving up your ambition, and you don't know what is Krishna's ambition yet, that could be the part where you feel confused. What am I supposed to do? Some saints have compared it to the dark night of the soul. Or it's just like you go in a tunnel. All those who travel from Bombay to Pune via expressway, there is one big tunnel and it's curved. So as you leave one end and you look back and you see light coming, becoming more and more dim. And at one point when you make that curve, you look back, it's dark. You look ahead, it's dark. You don't know whether you're going ahead or not. After some time you see a small spot of light. And that becomes bigger. So similarly, there comes a stage where you have given up your materialistic way of life and ambitions, and that slowly becomes zero. And you expect suddenly to have that light in front of you. But there is some kind of purification needed. So that is an experience which we all have to go through. And if we have faith, if we want to have full Krishna conscious realization, then it is part of the process. So I would like to begin a little glorification of Sri Balaramji. through this verse of Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's composed by Shri Swarup Damodar Goswami. Sankarshana karanato yashai garbodashai chapayobdishai sheshascha yasyam shakalacha nityanandakhya rama sharanam mamastu. He says, Sankarshana karanato yashai garbodashai chapayobdishai. May Lord Nityananda be always be in my remembrance. Why? Because Sankarshana, the three Vishnus, Karanadakshai, Garbhadakshai, and Kshirodakshai, one sleeping or resting on the milk ocean, they are all the plenary portions or portions of plenary portions of Sri Nityananda, who is none other than Balaram. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami begins his description of Nityananda Balaram by saying, Sarva avatari Krishna Swayam Bhagavan Tahara Dvitiya Deha Shri Balaram. Krishna is introduced as Sarva avatari, the source of all incarnations. All others are called incarnations, but Krishna is called avatari. Others are called avatar. Avatar means an incarnation of someone. So Buddha is an incarnation. But of whom? If you are told there is a special appearance, you mean a special appearance of whom? Who is that person who is making a special appearance? We may not be satisfied by just the hearing description, special appearance. Who is the person who is appearing specially in this particular way? Now, for a mortal being, for a limited jiva, there cannot be any different special appearances. Although there are, but are different species of life and all very painful. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings that when I do not perform devotion unto you, material nature comes and gives me a mala. She garlands me. Janama marana mala. She garlands me with a garland of repeated birth and death. That's what I get. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada is making a very interesting point as regards understanding Krishna Tattva, or as we are trying to understand Balaram Tattva today. Just see what Prabhupada is saying. Prabhupada says to a gross materialistic person, everything is a mystery. True. Have you heard this thing? People say, at least one of my relatives is always telling me the same thing, that your books are so tough. This Krishna conscious philosophy is so tough to understand. Why make it so tough? Expansion, expansion of expansion, plenary portion. So just try to understand how Prabhupada is trying to explain things. Prabhupada is saying to a gross materialistic person, everything is a mystery. Check out any easy read magazine and you find the mysteries of this planet, the mysteries of the ocean, mysteries of the forest. Everything is a mystery. Even somebody who feels that something as tangible science like economics or stock market analysis, which is, you know, you may not be able to understand that from the Vedas. It's a newly developed thing. But then sometimes there is a big crash and they ask an expert, and how did this happen? He says, it remains a mystery to me too.
It doesn't, we can't explain. Of course, nowadays they don't admit that it's a mystery. They say it's a market adjustment or it happens in, it's part of the cycle. It's a sine curve, it has to go down again. Because it went up 10 years ago, it has to come down, isn't it? But that's not satisfactory. So what do we do when things appear mysterious to us? We try to understand them. But how do you try to understand them? Prabhupada says, everything remains mysterious for want of sufficient knowledge. Now, everything is revealed to someone who takes guidance from proper persons. Isn't it? If you ask your milkman that what's wrong with the economy, his answer would be different from somebody who knows economics. So similarly, why Bhagavat Tattva or why Krishna conscious philosophy is tough or difficult? Once Giriraj Maharaj gave an explanation which is very nice. He said the books are not tough. Prabhupada's books are simple. Prabhupada talks in everyday language. But the terms used could be unfamiliar to you. The terminology used in Srimad Bhagavat is unfamiliar. But that is to be expected, isn't it? If you don't know golf, and if you find somebody discussing golf scores, you say this whole thing is mysterious to me. It's not mysterious, it's unfamiliar. Someone who doesn't know cricket, how can he understand a silly point? You may say, what's the point in playing such a game which has only a silly point? So you don't understand. I remember on the first yatra, I was trying to imitate all the devotees in their chanting. I had just begun chanting 16 rounds. And it was like a good experience. Every day you sit with the devotees. And one particular devotee came and said, so how are you feeling? Looking a bit spaced out? I said, I'm trying. Later I realized that being spaced out is not so fashionable. I thought everybody is being spaced out here. He's living in his own space or thinking of outer space or maybe the transcendental space. So to me, spaced out was trying to, you work toward it. So I said, I'm trying to. Just imagine the ISKCON lingo which we use, you know, fried out or ecstatic or whatever. So every particular group, coterie, every esoteric group, they have their own lingo, language. Similarly, Krishna consciousness is also couched in a particular lingo, particular language. And Prabhupada expects that his followers become familiar with his books as much as lawyers are familiar with their law books. That when somebody argues in a court of law, when he pleads, he says, what makes you say that? You can't say, I feel so or whatever. He says, why so and so order passed in this versus this, 1978? And then they'll say, oh yes. Then it is worthy of discussion. So let's try to understand Balaram Tattva today as much as possible. Krishna is Sarva Avatari and Tahara Dvitiya Deha. He is not supposed to be different than Krishna. He is Krishna himself. Now why Krishna expands? If Krishna doesn't expand, the whole business is stopped. He has to expand. Eko Bahusyam. There is a Veda Vakya. Eko, generally it means a person is saying that. Eko, I am one. Bahu Syama, and I have become many. Now who are those many? Grossly speaking, two types. Those with a limited potency, like you and me, Either you are this or that. There is no third. So once you know you are limited, you are part of the amshas, portions of Krishna, which are having limited potency. And there are those expansions of Krishna who are having unlimited potency. Swa amsha is the plenary portion. Vibhinna amsha is those who have limited potency, differentiated parts. Now it's not true that only the one variety is unlimited or the other is not. Both are unlimited. Krishna's plenary portions are unlimited. His vibhinnamshas are unlimited. Portion generally means you say, give me a portion of that cake. Then you see the cake being reduced, isn't it? He gave you some portion. Just remember this understanding and accept the idea that this doesn't happen with Krishna. You say, Krishna, can you give me that cake? He gives. And you find he also has one. Somebody else comes and he also has one. Somebody else, all get a cake and still Krishna has one. It's not impossible. Instead of a cake, think of a candle. You take an unlighted candle or a lamp, you take light from someone, you have, all of you have lights, but the one original still also has its light. So Krishna also gives simple understandings which you can see in our daily life. Plenum means full. Like there's a political party convention and say the plenary session. Those who dabble in corporate affairs may understand that plenary session means all members have to be present. That's a plenary session. When Krishna's portion, that means a personality who has come from Krishna, has the capability to display full potency, that's called a plenary portion. And then the plenary portion also has the capacity to have another portions and unlimited, which the limited potency category cannot show. So Balaram is Krishna himself. Krishna is blackish, bluish, he is whitish. So there is a difference only in the color. In one lecture, Prabhupada says that Panchatattva is five aspects of truth. And Prabhupada says, why is that? Why we have Panchatattva or Krishna and Balaram Tattva, then Radha Tattva, Shakti Tattva? Variety is for taste. Variety is the mother of enjoyment. Even mundaners know that. Without variety, there is no enjoyment. You become bored with the same thing. Even if it is of a very exalted nature, we are speaking only of material examples, you become bored. So there is taste. So spiritual life, the basic premise is there has to be variety. So Brahma Tattva, the non-differentiated, just see the word, non-differentiated. There is no difference there in anything. So there is no taste, there is no variety. And therefore, someone in that realm is apt to fall down again. Further, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says, Ekai swarup dohe bhinna matra kai, adya kaya vyuha Krishna lila rasahai. Ekai swarup, the swarup is the one. Swarup is one. Dohe, for these two people, bhinna matra kai, only the bodies are different. Adya kaya vyuha, there is a vyuha means four personalities, chatur vyuha. Krishna lila rasahai, and Balaram is the source of these four. It's a technical subject. I'll just repeat that very briefly. If you want to know further, you can read Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, a small book which Prabhupada has very elaborately explained this. So Krishna expands as Balaram. From Balaram, there is Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. From the Sankarshan, there is Narayan. From Narayan, another four. And these four, they become the causes of the Vishnus,
other avatars.
So normally when Vishnu is predominant, Vishnu's job is to see that this world gets maintained. He is a master of sattva guna. So sometimes it is felt that all the avatars are avatars of Vishnu. It's true. But the real truth is that Krishna is the source of these Vishnus. That is explained in the Srimad Bhagavat. So, Srimad Bhagavatam begins by explaining the stories of Krishna. Parikshit Maharaj has come specifically to hear Krishna Katha. So, Shukdev Goswami begins by saying, Kritavan kilakarmani saharamena keshava atimartyani bhagavan gudakkapatamanushaha. Kritavan kila karmani. They acted in various ways. Saha Ramena Keshava. Keshava is Krishna along with Balaram. But then he adds, Ati Martyani. Martya, mortal. Same word. They did not act like normal mortal beings. Ati Martyani Bhagavan Saha Ramena Keshava. Ram and Keshava, they both acted. Ram Krishna Aviviti Bhuo Bhagavan Aharad Bharam. Shukadeva Goswami further says that they acted in order to reduce the burden of this planet. Now, what's the burden for a planet? The world itself is very huge, heavy. But the Bhagavatam explains the world becomes overburdened by unscrupulous people, by liars, rogues, thieves. And we can see that today, more or less, it's the same thing. Balaram especially advents to exhibit Krishna's beauty. Of course, Krishna is all beautiful, but Balaram also specifically has this beauty Aishwarya. In the Upanishads, it is stated, Nayam atma balahinena labhyo nacha pramadat tapaso vapya lingat ete rupayer yatate yastu vidvam tasyaish atma vrishate brahma dham. Nayam atma, your atma means a supreme soul. In order to achieve Krishna, it is impossible unless you have balahinena. Or without the help of Balaram, you cannot achieve Krishna consciousness. Somebody thought, balahinena, that means you be strong. So one so-called Swami told his followers, eat meat, be strong, and then you can achieve self-realization. That's not true. You don't need bodily strength, physical strength to achieve Krishna. You need the kripa of Balaram. So the 10th canto specifically starts with description of Krishna's birth. And just before Krishna's birth takes place, his advent takes place, Lord Krishna sends Balaram in the womb of Mother Devaki. But from the womb of Devaki, he is transferred to the womb of Rohini. As some of you might be aware that Kamsa was waiting desperately for the 8th pregnancy of Devaki, because the 8th child of Devaki is going to kill him. So the 7th pregnancy occurs and he's waiting, and suddenly he finds that there is nothing there. So the news spreads that the 7th pregnancy of Devaki was a miscarriage. And Devaki of course doesn't know what's happened. But Krishna's yoga maya has transformed Balaram from Devaki's garbha, her abdomen, to Rohini. Because he was forcibly attracted to Mother Rohini's womb, he is also called Sankarshan.
our acharyas explained that Vasudev and Nanda were actually from the same forefather. From the Vaishya mother, Nanda Maharaj was born, and from the Kshatriya mother, Vasudev was born. Now, Sankarshan Balram brought these two families together. To that extent also he is called as Sankarshan. He brought them together. He is called Haladhara because he has a plough. He is called Balaram because he is powerful. He is Ram because he is an enjoyer. Afterwards, Krishna was born. He told his father to take him to Gokul. A daughter was born at Nanda's place. That was brought in the prison house. Kamsa tried to shatter that small baby, but she slipped out of his hand, appeared before him as Mother Durga. And then Kamsa was very repentant. Oh, I unnecessarily killed so many of my sister's offsprings. I'm so sorry. He released them both. And in this way, at least for some time, Krishna and Balaram both very safely were growing up in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. Here is God, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has made his appearance, is about to exhibit one of his most intimate, mysterious, and very sweet leelas. In previous avatars, like Narasimha Dev, there was no father mother involved, just a pillar. With Varaha Dev, he appeared from the nostrils of Brahma. Kashyapa just appeared like that. Matsya just appeared like that. So the acharyas say that when Lord comes in his human-like form, they never use the word manushya, kapata manush, gudha manush. And Krishna himself admonishes that avajananti ma mudha manushim tanum ashritam. Fools deride me when I appear in a human-like form. Sometimes it is strange at what exactly do materialistic so-called intelligent people want from God. God, can you do this? And God says, no, I won't do that. You have to do that. Then I'll be convinced you are God. Or you can't do that. If God always in his majesty, then you want God in a human-like form. And he says, hey, here I am. He says, oh, he's too human. He also makes mistakes. He also cries. So sometimes you feel like asking them, what exactly you want him to do? He's doing everything. Of course, Krishna doesn't do anything for satisfying non-devotees. Now he has come, as Krishna and Balaram both have come, just to give unlimited pleasure to the residents of Vrindavan. Raghupati Upadhyay, one of Lord Chaitanya's associates, he became so enamored by the mercy of Krishna and Balaram that he sang Shrutimapare Shrutimitare Bharatam Manye Bhajant Bhavabhita Ahamiha Nandam Vande Yasya Linde Param Brahma. Out of fear of this world of birth and death, out of fear of samsara, some worship the Shrutis, that we have to worship and properly understand, otherwise we will be caught up in this samsara. Shrutim apare, some worship the Shrutis, some worship the Shrutis, Smritis, Puranas, Itihasas. Some very diligently read Mahabharata, that oh, we have to know how to live, how to live, how to conduct our life here. But he says, if you ask me, aham iha nandam vande, I am thinking of only worshipping Nanda Maharaj. Why? Yasya linde param brahma, in his courtyard, that parabrahma is crawling like a baby. Just see his superior position.
We were reading yesterday in the Bhagavad Gita that Krishna always likes to be put in a position where his pure devotee orders him, do this, do this, do this. And that's his glory. So the small babies who were being reared in this community of Nanda Maharaj, they slowly were growing. Their predominant occupation was taking care of the cows and calves. So for them, the first thing to play with was cow dung, playing with the calves. Prabhupada in one lecture is saying that one reason why children today seem to be so weaklings or always diseased is because they have a very artificial atmosphere. He says for the first 5 years of your life, you should just have open air, courtyard, flowing water, cows, calves, and no studies. But right now, I was asking one god brother that your son is now 4 years old. Next year will be 4 years old. So in 1 year's time, he will have to go to KG. He says, what KG? He's only 2.5 and right now he's in a playgroup. So there is KG, then they started nursery, and now is a playgroup before that. Who knows, they may be taking people right from their wombs next time. That we need to give them some treatment so that they become very good students later. So it's artificial. So for Krishna and Balram, none of this was required. They used to, as soon as they started crawling, their mothers would release them. They would go in the courtyard. Next to everybody's courtyard in Vrindavan would be the barn, the Goshala. As soon as they learned the first steps, they had some strength. They started releasing the calves. Now you know what a calamity it is for a cowherd man, that when the calf is released, she goes and drinks all the milk. So when the cowherd man comes, there is no milk. Sometimes the calves would be released and they would go running around here and there. As anybody has experience with young calves, they don't have a sense of direction. They just go helter-skelter. So these two boys, they would catch their tails and they would be dragged in cow urine, cow dung, full of abhishek. And they would appear so beautiful. They became a little more grown up. And they would go after any of the ladies in the street and they would call them mother, mother, and they would say that, hey, she's not my mother. And they would become so afraid. Adults, we have lost our innocence. But ask any toddler that what is the feeling when you feel that you have lost your parents. You know, that's why kids just start shrieking out when they feel that their father and mother is not to be seen anywhere. In fact, Srila Prabhupada said one should chant like that. The ideal feeling for chanting is like you have lost your mother, and what happens when you do that? You just shout. So ideally, the Maha Mantra has to be chanted loudly. Hare! There is an echo of the unembodied. Of course, they are having bodies, but Harinam Chintamani has this, that when Haridas Thakur asks Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya says, what is this echo resounding? He says, this is the unembodied soul responding. So whenever there is a chant, everybody responds. Lord Balaram and Lord Krishna were then later given their proper names in a name-giving ceremony. I'm not going to go through all of his pastimes or even some of his pastimes because there are too many, and the main thing will be covered in the evening's program. We'll have a detailed description of some of his pastimes. But Garga Muni came and he very secretly performed his ceremony in a cow shed. And very soon, Krishna and Balaram were given charge of the calves first, young calves, and then the fully grown cows. There is one specific leela which I would like to describe, is about how Lord Balaram, just like Krishna, also took part in what Krishna calls paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam. Vinashaya, that means removing the burden or completely eradicating. Dushkritam. Krita is big work, but dushkriti is big unmeritorious work or wicked work, cruel work, the work of demoniac people. The story which we are going to describe is about a very saintly character, a cooperator in the leela of the Lord, but because of bad association, found himself on the opposite party. Lord Ramchandra is sometimes described in choice prayers as being supported by or helped by two great associates, Mainda and Dvivida. And this Dvivida, who helped Lord Ram so much in conquering Lanka, he also had a long life, somehow he associated with Narakasur. And just see what happens due to bad association. A confidential associate of the Lord became practically the most demoniac person of his time. He had strength, and because Narakasur was killed by the Lord, he took a vow that I am going to cause as much trouble as possible and give some misery to Krishna and Balaram, whoever is available. So he went to this province of Anartha. He was so powerful, with the power of 10,000 elephants. He went to the ocean, and with his powerful arms, he splashed the waves, and the water came and flooded the villages. He destroyed so many thousands of homes. Then he went and captured people. He kidnapped them. He put them in caves and shut the caves with strong rocks, boulders. He kidnapped the wives of respectable members of that society and polluted them. Then someone told him that Balaramji, whom you want to trouble, he is at Raivataka mountain. So he said, fine, I'll go there. It's very strange how somebody whose whole point was about serving the Lord, just by the wrong type of association, you meditate constantly on how can I cause him trouble. Especially Dvivida is described as having offended Lakshman. Lakshman is none other than Balaram himself, Guru Tattva. Thousands and thousands of cases can be cited of persons who have offended the Lord and have been forgiven completely. But not a single case can be cited of somebody who has offended Guru and has taken and is the recipient of the Lord's mercy. None. There is no exception. Unless that person expiates his offense, he begs forgiveness, the Guru forgives him, only then can he again regain the favor of the Lord.
So there is one thing to disrespect the Lord, but there is a completely another thing, the most dangerous thing is to offend the spiritual master. Why? Because the spiritual master is the via media. Through him you get the mercy of the Lord. So Balaramji is described as always preferring bluish dress. He wears a garland of flowers. It's very beautiful, like a white cloud. Just like Krishna has his consorts, the gopis, Lord Balaram also has his gopis. He also enjoys Rasila with them. That's a separate group. And one thing which he likes, which many would like in this world also, is a beverage called Varuni. It is described in the Shastras as intoxicating. But don't jump to any conclusions. It is not the intoxication what we see here. In fact, a mundane intoxicant called Somaras, it's not divine, it's mundane, it's for this, it's in this material world. Krishna says, Somarasa Putapapa. You drink so much juice, you become free from sins. Do you know any liquor which can make you free from sin? In fact, you can commit many more once you have ingested that stuff. So the urge to get intoxicated, which we find in this world, why somebody gets intoxicated? He has to forget something, isn't it? What is something which Balaram wants to forget? Nothing. That's why that is called his leela. That's his pastime. Even while intoxicated, in fact, there's a very nice verse which Rupa Goswami composed, a couplet, two verses from the Lalit Madhav. It's very interesting. The first one says, now this is when Lord Balaram has a little bit of more Varuni. His eyes have started to roll and he's slowly swaying his body. And again, don't make any comparisons. But we need to understand how he gets intoxicated so that we can be bereft of, we can be relieved of the intoxication effects of this world. So better to participate in Lord Balaram's intoxication party. So we don't get any invitations for any parties here. Bile kwa nu vililire nrupa pipilika pinasme jagadandakam nanuhari kutha dhasyati shachigruha kurangare hasatikim tvam itya unnadanna udeti madadambar asya khalita chudam agre hali. Very interesting Sanskrit. Lord Balaramji is calling a big king. Hey, you king of ants. I don't know why he called him king of ants. I am going to destroy the whole universe now. And everybody is scared. Hari krudha dhasyati. He says, if Krishna is angry with me, who cares? Then he sees Indra somewhere. He says, hey, you Shachi griha kuranga. You play thing in the hands of Shachi. Why are you laughing at me? This is what Lord Balaramji speaks when he is a little high. In bliss. And then the second verse is, I'm really amazed how Rupa Goswami could compose a verse like this. Bhava Bhramati Medini Lalalandate Chandrama Krakrishna Vavadadrutam Hasanti Kim Vrishnaya Si Sidhu Mumumunjame Papapapana Patre Sthitaha. He's exactly saying how a intoxicated person speaks. Madas Khalitam Alapanam Haladhara Shriyam Vah Kriyat. Madas Khalitam, this kind of banter coming from the mouth of lotus mouth of Lord Balaram, may he give us all pleasure. And that's what he does. His devotees are in pleasure, bliss. He is in bliss. There are no after effects. There are no hangovers. There are no loss of efficiency. There is no liver trouble. Nothing of that sort. It's all pure. Bha Bhramati Medini, Balram is complaining, why is the earth moving so fast? Then he looks at the moon and he says, this was supposed to be a round object, isn't it? The moon is supposed to be round. Why is it becoming elongated? I'm seeing it here, now I'm seeing it all the way up to here. Says, Kaka Krishna, why are these Vishnis laughing at me? Normally this is one thing which an intoxicated person always complains, you know, why are you laughing at me? Then he says, Sisidhu Mumu Muncho Me Papa Papa Pana Patre, where is my glass? Who took away my glass? Oh, Varuni. And Rupa Goswami says, to such an intoxicated Lord Balramji, we offer our pranams and we wish that he bestow upon us all pleasure. In that next quotation, this is from Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, chapter 29. Rupa Goswami, for a very brief instance, he says, what happens when people get intoxicated? He says, Uttama Shete. Exalted personalities, if at all they get intoxicated, they just go and take rest. Madhyama, they start laughing loudly. Or they start singing. Adhamas, they use vulgar language and they start fighting. They start crying. And then Rupa Goswami adds, there is no need to describe this subject matter anymore. Because intoxication is also a desirable feeling. It's an emotion. And all emotions have their spiritual reality and a material counterpart. In fact, once Radhan Maharaj made a point, very interesting observation, that when Jagai Madai were relieved from their curse and sins and everything, and Nityan Prabhu and Lord Chaitanya forgave them and they accepted them, by just one statement, R. Naiko Baba. Afterwards, from now on, none of the previous things you should continue, okay? And they said, yes. And then Lord Chaitanya started a holy name kirtan, Prem Kirtan. In that chanting of the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare It went on for a long time, and Jagai Madai looked at each other and said, we never released this kind of intoxicating effect before. They used to take strong liquors, as Hiranyakashipu, as Jarasandha, as Ravan, all of them. But then they realized that this holy name, this has something which we never tasted before. So, it's wrong to use the word. Toxic means poison. But that's what material language is. So deficient. It's so short of the right meaning. While in Sanskrit you have Asava, Madha, Varuni. So many different ways to make differentiation what exactly we are talking about. So this Balramji on the Revataka mountain. Imagine a nice mountain area, fully wooded. Trees, cool breeze. Here's a handsome young man and very, very beautiful girls around him and with a beverage glass in his hand, cup. And Dvivida comes there and first of all he's very angry that he's not looking at me. So he makes faces, sounds. Shukadeva Goswami described a specific sound, kilkila. I don't know how monkeys make it, but he says that's what the Shabda, Sa Shabdan, that was the Shabda he made, that was the sound he made. Then he started showing his private parts to the girls. And Prabhupada says, yeah, young girls by nature, they can laugh at anything. So they started laughing and giggling. But Balramji said, hey, this is too much. Then he took away that glass, that cup, and threw it away. This was it. Now, Balaramji said, enough is enough. This fellow deserves punishment. But before he could think about what to do, he had his plow, his club in his hand. Dvivida gorilla came and hit him on the chest very hard. Of course, when demons hit Krishna, if Krishna wants to show something, then he can show perspiration or blood. Now, it's not up to us, like. It's not like us. If somebody hits me, I won't say that, hey, if I want, I can show you some symptom of fainting or something like that. I am completely under the, at the mercy of that particular blow. So we find that Krishna or Balaram, sometimes they don't show any effect. Just like some Vaishnava poets say, if you hit an elephant with the stalk of a lotus, what will happen to him? Nothing. Similarly, Balaramji decided not to show any symptom. So nothing happened. But he took a tree and threw it at that Dvivida gorilla. It hit him on the head. And at least previously, I don't know if there is any mountain now, but previously all the mountains had minerals in them, especially red oxide. Prabhupada makes it very clear. So when a mountain is punched in, the red oxide comes out of it. You know, something like a eclair is being punctured and all the soft center comes out of it. Or some fruit is dented and some juice comes out of it. So mountains being dented, there would be this red oxide flowing out of it. And it is supposed to be very beautiful. So Dvivida was looking a little bit attractive by the blood coming out of it. But that made him more angry. So he picked up one tree and threw it at Balaramji. So he took another tree and blocked it. Then he took a boulder. He was just picking on stones one after another and throwing it at Balaram. And he was just deflecting them. Prabhupada says, aren't there so many sports in this material world where somebody throws a ball or something or an object and the only game is to deflect it? This was the original match. The origin of all such kind of sporting abilities. That's what Lord Krishna and Balaram do. Leela, there is no counterpart in the English language. It's called a pastime. Old English. But Leela, the only counterpart or the perverted reflection here is karma. Now we may say, I like to do my karma. But imagine the ghastly ingredients which go in making something called karma. Introduction to Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada explains, activities done by the conditioned living soul, that means his condition first of all is rebellious, is bound. Activities performed by a rebellious soul with the help of the three modes of material nature under the control of time are karma. It's just like the difference between dry bread which you get in prison and the nice cake which our Gaur Gadadhar Prabhu makes here. It's also called Krishna Balaram, by the way. That's the difference. So there is no way in which somebody can compare activities done here fully under the control of Kala. Kala is the boss. And what are the things which help this activities? The three modes. But what happens with the personality of Godhead is Leela. In Leela, there is Leela Shakti, which guides. It's always under the control of Krishna. But that control, the basis is love. So therefore, all activities which we do here are just vain imitation. Somehow getting that Leela thing in my life here. One example Prabhupada used to give was somebody saw a man eating sugar cane and all his mouth was filled with sugar cane juice dripping down. So he said, this thing which strong, stocky kind of thing, it gets juice. Unfortunately, he saw a bamboo. And he tried to do the same thing with that. His teeth came out. So when we try to imitate Krishna, it is not Leela, it's karma.
avidya karma. So Balaramji was actually enjoying it. But just like a drama performance, if somebody says that now when this happens, you should kill him, that killing has to occur exactly, right? Imagine a drama where somebody kills him and the man says, I am not dead. The audience will feel, hey, what is this? You are supposed to be dead. Play dead properly. Because it's a drama. So therefore, when enacting these leelas, they behave exactly like being fatigued or being intoxicated or this or that. But the basic foundation is pure bliss. So after playing with Dvivida, he was the involuntary participant in throwing all these boulders at him. The boulders were got all destroyed to pieces, powder. All the trees were finished, no trees left. Today's ecologists will be very angry at Dvivida. At least for that reason, he deserves to die. And finally, Balaramji had his plow and his mace. But when he saw that Dvivida was not throwing any trees, not throwing any stones, but he was trying to come and attack him with his bare hands, in true Kshatriya warriorship, Balaramji, of course, also kept down his weapons, went towards Dvivida, caught him, gave him one blow on his throat, and he fell down dead. He would have done this earlier also, but what's the fun? So therefore, Krishna and Balaram don't require superhuman effort to do anything. They're already superhuman anyway. So in this way, just to round it up, Balaramji killed Dhenukasur, Pralambasur, Ilvala, Dvivida. I'm just giving a rundown of what he, how Shukadeva Goswami describes his pastimes. Many times Balaramji just takes the opposite view from Krishna's view. Krishna likes Arjun, he likes Duryodhan. One day I asked Jayadvait Maharaj, why Balaramji is shown to behaving like that? So he says, like, this is like transcendental schizophrenia. That's what you mean. It's the same person, but sometimes things like I am two. Schizophrenia is what the person feels, I am two. So this is transcendental. Krishna likes to marry Rukmini, and Balaramji says, no, you should not do that. Why you kidnapped? Why you insulted Rukmi? Of course, later he himself killed him. How much leeway can you give? Somebody just keeps on committing offenses. Krishna wants Arjun to marry Subhadra. Balaramji says, no. Krishna is telling Arjuna, fight the war. Balaramji is saying, don't, please don't. And he says, no, we are going to fight. He just leaves the whole thing and goes on a pilgrimage. So, sometimes we wonder that, you know, how come he's the same person but he behaves in two? That's the mystery. And for mystery, Prabhupada is saying, we have to approach the right persons to understand. So therefore, let us try to understand Balaram Tattva as much as possible from the Bhaktivedanta purports which Prabhupada has so mercifully given, and know for one thing that whenever we are bereft of spiritual power, we feel that we can't take it anymore. Spiritual life becomes too troublesome. It's not that spiritual life becomes too troublesome, but our troubles become too much. There's a saying in English, even a half penny coin, if you hold it close to your eyes, can cover the sun. It's not a big object, but it is close to your eye. So whenever we hold a calamity very close to ourselves, it becomes very big. So Prabhupada said, we have established the Krishna Balaram temple, where Balaramji is very powerful. And you see him.
majestically keeping his hand on Krishna's shoulder. So one day some devotees told Prabhupada, Balaramji is strong, he is Balaram, he is the elder brother. That's why he is keeping his hand on Krishna's shoulder, right? Prabhupada said, yes. So they told other devotees that, you know, in our Krishna Balaram deities, Balaramji is stronger because he is keeping his hand, he is the upper hand on Krishna's shoulder. So some devotees said, hey, but it could be otherwise too. So they went to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, isn't Krishna stronger than Balaram? Prabhupada said, yes. And they said, how? Hey, he's supporting Balaram, just see. Such a strong person, and he's supported by Krishna's shoulder. So devotees came to know that it's no use discussing these things. Like, who is stronger? They're both strong. But Balaramji serves Krishna in all five rasas. His desire is not to compete with Krishna. In Shantaras, in the neutrality state of love, he is Vrindavan Dham. Can you imagine? The whole Dham is expansion of Balaram's body. All the objects which have Shantaras as their objective, they are expansions of Balaram's body. In Dasya Ras, he is Sridham. Vatsalya Ras, he is Balaramji, the elder brother. Even in Sakhya Ras, he is Balaram. In Vatsalya Ras, In Vatsalya Ras, he is Balaram, the elder brother. Sakhya Ras, he is Sridham. And in Madhurya Ras, Balaramji expands as Radharani's younger sister, Ananga Manjari. That is his mood. The whole of spiritual world is an expansion of Balaram's body. He expands as Krishna's throne, Krishna's sandals, Krishna's crown, Krishna's ornaments, Krishna's vastram. Everything is supplied by Lord Balaram. And the only state in which he likes to be glorified is that I am a servant of Krishna. So Ananta, why is Ananta? There are unlimited ways in which he serves Krishna. There is no end, shesha, to which he can. There is no objective which he will not fulfill in order to serve Krishna. He also takes pancha rupa, according to Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami. Mahasankarshan, Karnadakshai Vishnu, Garbhodakshai Vishnu, Kshirodakshai Vishnu. And the fifth one, these first four, are for this cosmic manifestation. The last one, Shesha, is for personal service to the Lord. He becomes a snake on which he, on a coiled bed, Lord Vishnu rests. So let us pray to Lord Balaram that he can support us in our spiritual quest and favor us with the boon of Krishna Seva. Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ki, Shri Radha Gopinath Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Dai Gaur Premanande.